It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Monica Lovell. My beautiful, sweet mama is over there running the iPad. I love you, Mama. Thank you for helping me today. Our guest for today is my brother in Christ, Ernie Aragon. How are you doing this morning, brother?
Good, sis. How are you doing?
I'm doing...
Give me a handshake.
Good morning. I forgot about the microphone.
Yeah, it's okay.
It happens.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
It's okay.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways now. You can send it by email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. Or, are you ready? You can text it to our text line, y'all. We got a text line. Woo! You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma. I think I covered all this morning, brother. Would you pray to start us out, please?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for bringing us all together. Lord, I just I have anticipation about what was going to be brought, the word that you had instilled on me, Father, for those that will be listening, and maybe even those like my sister was talking about that don't even know you, Father, that will hear this and might bring some revelation into their understanding of you, Father, and what you truly mean. So I just pray for all of us that are here, Father, that you keep your hand upon us. Just keep us moving straight forward in the direction that you want the word to go to. Father, I pray for those that are out there that are going to be listening and tuning in, Father, that their ears will be open, their eyes will be open wide, their hearts be prepared and ready for it, Father, and most of all, their spirit be taking this in as a nice download for them for a little bit more understanding that's in their walk with you, Father. And we ask this all in your beloved Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. So I really like your title this morning. Was the Bible written by man?
Yes. Oh, man. That was this subject came to me through a friend of mine, old high school friend of mine, that was going through a struggle. And I just remembered in her writings that, you know, you could tell that she was looking for something to hang on to. But at the same time, she was throwing things that she could have hanged on, brought into her, to the floor. And one of the things that it was that caught me is it's like, and I've heard other people say this too before, but is, you know, the Bible was written by man. You'll hear that from all different walks of life say that the Bible was just written by man. The Bible was just written by man. And 9 times out of 10, that's just usually their way of getting out of any conversation with you talking about them, about Jesus Christ, or trying to bring Jesus Christ into the conversation. And it was actually for me, still in my walk, a question I had is like, how is it when you hear these things? And I remember even saying once upon a time in my life that, you know, the Bible is just written by man. The quick and simple, easiest answer to it is this: yes, it was written by man. But the difference is we'll just say, we'll take a book of Shakespeare. Was that written by man? Of course. Was the Bible written by man? Of course. What are the two differences? Well, the Bible is inspired by God. And the biggest key that you have to get here is this. You're not going to be able to go and jump into the Bible and just start reading it and understand everything God has for you. It'll never happen. Only by having the Holy Spirit within you will He guide you through the Word of God to have you understand. Now, going back to our main subject here, man just wrote the Bible. He was, you know, man was the only one involved. There is truth in all that. There is deep truth on that. But I found a gentleman that had wrote it down real simply in the best way. I mean, there's a lot here to digest, folks, so I'm going to try to go through it pretty quickly. And so that way, towards the end, we can have a conversation about it. This is by a gentleman named Bodie Hodge that wrote this down. This was in 2009. It says, is the Bible the inspired word of God, or was it simply written by man? And then what he does here is he gives us a reference in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for a reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, right there, just in that scripture itself, that's telling us as believers that we have a means and a way of taking the word of God and being able to be transported, that's the best way to say, into the realm of the Spirit, to have a deeper understanding of what the Bible is. Because like I said, you just can't jump in the Bible. You can jump in the Bible and you can read it. And I mean, it all depends on where your mindset's going to be at. You're going to see good, bad, and indifferent on it. It just depends on where that's going to be at. And I'm just saying this as a person that has read, you know, certain books or certain pages in the Bible, and sometimes it didn't make any sense what it was saying. It's like, what does that mean, you know, or what were they talking about this, or what was, I have no idea what it is. Those answers will not be given to you, because the Bible in itself is a living, breathing organism, best way to describe it. It's always moving, always changing, always evolving into something else for you to understand. You could read the same verse over and over and over and over again, and if you're a believer, the Lord will bring that into you, a different avenue of taking that word and applying it to your situation or circumstance that you're going through. And that's one of the awesome things about the Bible, is that it can do that for you. But here's where our problem is. We live in a secular age. And so right now people, when that answer is brought to us, it's brought to us from a humanistic or humanism point of view, and that is one of the dark sides of our society right now, is that people are, and that's where you're getting, where people are wanting like God out of everything that's in there, is because of where they've been taught. So humanism is actually, I call it the religion of humanism, and humanism is basically man taking place of God. And when you start doing that, the Bible in itself, it becomes a book. Because you're not going to see the inspiration that has been brought to the individual men that have written the Bible. You can go through the whole Bible itself, and you can see different circumstances and different areas where specific individuals wrote the Bible. And so, by going through that, by me going through all this and reading it, that was one of the aspects that I got. And so. And this is something else he wrote. He said, out of 1,000 adults who have left church, 44% of them said that they did not believe the account in the Bible were true or accurate. When asked what made them answer this way, the most common response, and this is 25% of them, said the Bible was written by man, not God's abbot-inspired men. The remaining results are shown below, and there's a pie graph that they show down here, and I'll go over it. So 4% Christians don't live by the Bible. 4% have evolution proves that the Bible is wrong. 24% it was written by man. 18% it was not translated correctly. 15% the Bible contradicts itself. 14% science showed the world is old. 11% the Bible has errors. And 7% there's so much difference in the world. That right there can draw so many pieces of confusion in anybody that's trying to figure out what about the Bible, let alone that the individuals that wrote in the Bible or wrote the books of the Bible were God inspired by this. And that's the key. The key of it is that we need to understand that the individuals that wrote these books were inspired by God to write them in the way that they transpired and came out in the way that we read them. One of the biggest, and we were just talking about that this morning, one of the biggest arguments that's going on out there is about the translation of the Bible. And most people, will have an understanding that there's a Bible called the King James Bible. And that's the Bible that's been around since the 1700s. It wasn't until more our modern time that it got translated to a more, I would want to say, English-friendlier version, so the translation was easier to read, and then there's one that in our mm-hmm. church and stuff that's really we're taking to heart is the Passion Translation. So right now people are splitting hairs over the translation of the Bible, and the whole thing about it is if you're not a biblical scholar, if you're not someone that's dive deeply into Hebrew, into Greek, into Aramaic. I mean, that's the only way you're gonna, if you do that, you're gonna have more of a deeper understanding of what each word, each phrase, each paragraph, each book is, how it's written in way that it is written, so it brings understanding or the interpretation of what was written by those different languages. So in the 1700s, they gathered it all together, used the best word for an example. I'm not giving you an example, but just the best word to put in place of a word that might have a different meaning or have a bigger meaning or a smaller meaning. So that is the thing about the translations of the Bible. I'm kind of going off, as my pastor says, I'm kind of going off on a rabbit trail over here on it, but I'm just giving you an example of how distracted people get. What was it that you said, sister, that you were talking about?
The detours of details.
Detours of detail. That is gonna. I gotta make that stick in me because that's what it is. It's what happens with individuals. We get so stuck in the details, and they're this high around us that we're not really seeing what's supposed to be happening and what's going on. And the thing that I've learned with that through time is God is simple. God is easy, and He's not gonna make things difficult for you to figure out. You just got to be in the will of God to know that this is there's a time and a place for everything for you to learn and know.
Amen. Come on, brother.
Let's see. So I said that. So since God does not make errors, I'm just going to throw it at you. Psalms 12:6 is one that you need to read up on. Deuteronomy, 32:4 and Hebrews 6:18. Already read through these already, and they give good referencing to all that we're talking about right now. That's all right. So I'm just trying to get this implies that God was not involved, since God cannot deny Himself. And you go to 2 Timothy 2:13, and thus contradicts Himself. So at least 50% would, in one way or another, dispute that a perfect God was responsible for the Bible. I'm just trying to carry on and talk at the same time, give you information of what I found. And then he basically says here, so what is the answer? And he goes, when it comes to the authorship of the Bible, of course men were involved. Christians would be the first to point this out. For example, Paul wrote letters to the early church that all included the scriptures. And this is 2 Peter 3, 15 through 16. David wrote many of the Psalms. Moses wrote the Pentateuch, or the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. In fact, it is estimated that over 40 different human authors were involved. But this is not the issue. So that just kind of gives you a picture of, like, yes, there were 40 individuals that were involved in writing the books of the Bible. So yes, man wrote the Bible. But again, bringing it right back to you, these men that wrote these books were inspired by God. Perfect example is people. Another example is like, well, if they're inspired by God, how do we know for sure? The greatest examples that we can use is going to be in the New Testament. If you go and read about the Gospels, you find out that he has that Jesus brought in 12 disciples. All except for one of them, and that would be Judas. He went and hung himself. But the rest of them all died horrific deaths. And I don't know about you, but if I didn't really believe in something down to the core of who I am, I don't think I would go and be sacrificed in such a way that would just destroy me for no reason. Each one of these individuals had died a horrific death because of their true belief of what took place, what had happened. It's a great example for us to know that, because it helps solidify that the Bible has truth and is truth. And that, yet, even though man had written it and some of the disciples wrote these books, the end result was is they didn't go and have book tours, and they didn't go and, you know, make $1 million off of what they wrote. You know, they were deprived of a lot of things. They were hunted down and they were killed. So you got to take that into text, that context of what, how the Bible was written. Because even in the Old Testament, the prophets themselves, they were hunted down and killed too by their people that are the believers. So you got to understand that yes, it is inspired. It is written by man, but the inspiration is of God. And it's God's will that each one of these men went through these type of deaths that were brought to them. And I mean, people call it martyrdom, and that's basically what it is. It's an example of someone that has a true core belief. Nothing's going to sway them. Nothing's going to change them. Nothing's going to move them in any form or manner. And they're going to stay to their guns all the way till they are dead or till death. And that's what each one of them did. And that just gives a testament to Jesus Christ himself. It also gives a testament to God himself. It also gives a testament to the Bible of the truth of what it is. Because the guys in the New Testament, they knew from the Old Testament all the prophecies that were going to be spoken of about Jesus Christ. They knew the Messiah was supposed to be coming. How did they know that? They knew that it was in the Old Testament saying that. And when Jesus Christ came and went and it all transpired and went through, at the moment they didn't know, but it wasn't until the Holy Spirit hit them, then all revelation came to them. They're like, that was their big Jesus, what I call Jesus moment. There was that big Jesus moment where they got hit with the Holy Spirit, and then they finally understood. They finally got what Jesus was talking about all the time. Now, there might have been a few things that they may have gotten and said, yeah, that's, I understand that, I get it. But now they're like, I really get it. And that's what ends up happening when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, especially as a believer, and you start reading the Bible. Then you start realizing, yes, it is written by man, but it's inspired by God. Now, when you start putting that inside of you and start realizing that part of it, you yourself as a believer will not be in any position to say that, man just wrote this. The non-believers are going to be the ones that are going to be saying that. The non-believers are going to be the ones that are going to be denying it. And that's because there's the truth that's in it. Honestly, if you want to break it down to the very bottom, the truth of the matter is what the Bible tells us and how to be contradicts exactly their lifestyles in general, or how they want to perceive and believe things, how they want to make themselves gods and make their world make their kingdom out of what they truly believe and what they perceive. It's basically a form of idolization. They turn themselves into idols. And that's because they are denying Christ. We'll go a little bit more deeper into it here, because it goes into some things that I didn't even know about and try to bring out to you. Trying to remember where I left off at. Okay, the issue is this. Did God have any involvement or not? Did God inspire the authors of the scripture? When someone claims that the Bible was written by man and not God, this is an absolute statement that reveals something extraordinary. It reveals that the person saying this is claiming to be transcendent. When one claims that God was not inspiring the human author of the Bible, that person is claiming to be, now here's some words I had to go on. So, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, or pointant. And it gives us the definition. Omniscient is they are claiming to be all-knowing authors, authority of the subject of God, God's inspiration to refute God's claim the scripture was inspired by him. And it gives another reference back to 2 Timothy 3:16. Omnipresent, they are claiming that they are present both spiritually and physically to observe that God had no part in aiding any of the biblical authors. And then omnipotent, there we go. They are claiming that if God had tried to help the biblical authors, then they had the power to stop such an action. So that gives you all the omnis, that's what I call them, the three omnis that are out there. I would suggest kind of going, if you decide to go back and read these all out again or find out the definitions for yourself on all these and what they mean, it'll help give you a more understanding of where people are coming from that the Bible is written by man. So the person making the claim that the Bible was written by man is claiming to be God. But these three attributes belong solely to God. This is a religious issue of humanism versus Christianity. Now you need to get that in your head, because that's where these people are coming from. It's something that's been birthed into our society. I would probably say starting, if I can remember correctly, from the 60s forward, that humanism was a big implication in education in our schools to move us forward out of the Bible, move us forward out of the biblical principles that most of during that time frame, most of society was truly involved in. And if you didn't know this, in fact, as soon as the government got a hold of schools, there was a time back in the day where, and this is before my time, I don't even remember doing this, but and I know certain regions of the United States still were doing it no matter what. But people were actually, students were being taught how to pray. So in the morning when they did their, before the day got started, they prayed. I have a witness to it. They prayed and then said the Pledge of Allegiance right afterwards. Mm-hmm. So through the process of time, what have we gotten rid of? Well, we got rid of students praying. And where are we at now with our educational process now that God's not involved in it anymore? It's kaput. It's the only way I could describe it. I mean, if you are a parent and you want your kid to be normal, that's the only way I could describe it. You have to be very active in their education. You got to know what they're teaching you. You got to know what they're doing. Back in the day, it wasn't like that. A lot of the teachers back in that time frame, they were Christians of different faiths. But they were Christians, so their point of where they were coming from was Christian-based education of teaching and showing and the examples. And so as society has moved forward, again, this is where, I talk about the humanism that has been brought into our society has changed that point from, it's no longer God, it's me. Mm. It's no longer God, it's me, you know, so. Mm.
Yes, I just wanted to say.
Get the mic. Sorry. Grab one of the mics so we can all hear you, Mama. That's fine. Turn it on.
Flip straight up.
Yeah. Oh, get the other one. Is the blue light on?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
What I just want to throw in here is back in my day, I'm 69 years old, so talking about prayer in class, it's just start the day off, prayer. But this was back whenever we, as in the United States, as Americans, we believed in, in God we trust.
Right.
And it was all based on in God we trust. Everything.
Right.
And that's what we're moving away from in America, is in God we trust.
Right.
And not only was it the prayer that was taken out, and it's taken out of the schools for the most part, and for the most part, a lot of the families.
Mm-hmm.
Discipline.
Mm-hmm. But that also has to go along on the sides of where we've biblically gotten away from that, and as society, the humanistic aspect of society has gotten so involved that that whole instance of just our on our head topic is, man wrote the Bible. Where did we get to where people were talking like that? How did we get to a point where people are saying these things? Well, it's just a process of time of best example I can give is if you ever see a rock that's in the earth and you pull it out, it's usually hard, rough, and edgy. But through time, mm-hmm. pouring water over that, it'll become smooth and even. And you could apply this principle to anything, but I'm just using it as an example because you don't see the process happening. You don't see the process taking place. But all of a sudden, next thing you know, you have something that wasn't before, mm-hmm. and it's completely different. And how did we get there? This is how we got there. It was a process of us getting away from God, from getting away from Jesus, getting away from the principles that held this country together for so long, that that we are in such a despair within our educational process. We are in such a despair with our society. And if you go, and I'll say this every time, if you go watch your normal news outlets, you're not going to hear any of this stuff like that. They'll give you a little bit of the bad and then try to paint a pretty picture for you. That's what they do. That's how they keep you deceived. You know, you need to get awakened and not woke. That's what you need to do.
You need to wake up.
Yeah, you need to wake up. So getting back to it. So then he gives an example of, you know, how you can address this, you know, omnipresence by asking, do you really believe that you are omnipresent? The only way for you to prove that God is not involved in the writing of scripture is for you to be omnipresent. Then point out to them, to her, he or she or whatever, claiming to be God when they made that statement that God had no involvement in the Bible. So again, it's the individual making themselves God over God. And that's what humanism is. Or how is it that we are powerful enough to stop God from inspiring the author of the Bible? That's another way of saying it. Or do you believe that this person is God? The only way that they refute that God inspired the Bible is by claiming attributes of God for yourself, such as omnipresent, omnipotence, and omniscience. These big old words, I don't know. How do you know that God isn't involved? How do you know? That's another question that you need to bring out to him. And since the Bible alone contains detail predictive of fulfilled prophecy, it alone can qualify as an authenticated by God. So, again, the only way you're going to understand that is knowing from a Christian perspective or a believer's perspective that's the Word of God is the Word of God and it's the truth and that's what it is. So you got to be, you as a Christian need to be prepared on that. Other methods of responding to undercut the entire position by pointing out that any type of reasoning apart from the Bible is merely arbitrary. So the person trying to make a logical argument against the claim of the Bible, you know, i.e. that God inspired the authors, is doing so only because he or she is assuming that the Bible is true. And that's a simple logic on that. And this is where I was kind of going for. Someone may respond, well, what if I claim that Shakespeare was inspired by God? Then you would have to be all the omnis. and then it says, actually, it is irrelevant for me to have any of those. God, who is all the three omnis, refutes that claim from what he has already stated in the Bible. Nowhere did God self-authenticate Shakespeare's writing as scripture. However, Christ, the Creator God, and this is a reference to John 1, Colossians 1, and Hebrew 1, approved the Old Testament prophetic works and the New Testament apostolic works. And then they use a word called the canon, and I found out it's something that a bunch of men get together and find agreement on and understanding, okay, this is where they all came from. And this brings truth to that understanding. But that goes back to, again, what I was talking about is like the apostles and those in the New Testament that wrote the New Testament all reflected back to the Old Testament and gave the reference from there that the truths that are pulled from the Old Testament are being applied into the New Testament. And that is because Jesus Christ came and help authenticate everything that was in the past. I'm sure there was a lot of them, probably very few, But a lot of them that during that time frame was like, where's God? Where's God? Where's, you know, God? You know, especially at the time frame that they were in when the Romans were there in Jerusalem. You know, they were going through all this upheaval, you know, but they were looking at the Messiah that was supposed to be coming in. Is he supposed to be this great warrior mm-hmm. that was going to come in and swipe the Romans completely mm-hmm. out? But if they would have read the Old Testament mm-hmm. and really let the Spirit lead them into what the truths are of it, they would have known that that's not how the Messiah was coming. That's not how he was going to be brought into the world in his life depicting of what was going to happen and take place. I mean, again, it doesn't turn back until the day that, you know, the day of Pentecost when everybody got hit with the Holy Spirit. That was when they got awoken to all the understanding that they had all the word in them of God, but now the understanding of that word got transpired in their minds. They got a revelation of what was actually being stated by Jesus, but not only that, but by the word of God through the Old Testament, that all of everything that took place and has happened has transpired in this to this point, that it was God that was involved from the beginning to the end. God has repeatedly authenticated the supernatural characters of Scripture through prophecy. In Isaiah 40:46, God states that he distinguished from the other so-called gods in many ways. He is the creator. He is the one who sits above the circle of the earth, etc., etc. God alone can tell the future. See especially Isaiah 41:21-29. Since the Bible alone contains details, predictive and fulfilled prophecy, it alone can qualify as being authenticated by God. And again, this is all you got. This is coming from a point of being a believer. But if you're wanting to know these things, if you're wanting to know that the Bible was just not written by man, that God was involved in all this, these are things that are pointing to help you understand. And I know there's people out there that will still, no matter what, are going to argue the point. And that's I'll get into that later about why and how and where this is all coming from. It is prayer time.
Okay.